Okay, let's get started. So we're in Parak Gimel in Hilchos Teshuvah, and we started the various types of people who, due to up to now a certain philosophical belief, lose their share in the world to come. So up to this point, dealing with Minim and Apikorsim and Kofrim, those are people who have a certain philosophical outlook, in many cases denying certain fundamentals of Jewish faith. And if someone does that, they lose their chelek olam haba. Now we're going to shift into other types of people, more action-based. So the first category is halacha tes is a mumar. So mumar also there's a lot of gemaras that talk about a mumar. In this case, we'll be specific that a mumar is someone who basically is always over an isser in a manner of rebellion. Okay, so he. He engages in prohibitions for the purpose, in some sense, of rebelling against God. And you'll see in the two cases he brings in. So he says, Shnayim heim ha-mumarim Yisrael. So there's two types of mumars. There's two personality types. Or I should say, two types of, two categories of mumar. Ha-mumar la-vera achas, ha-mumar la-chola Torah kula. So one of them is focused on simply one sin, and the other one is a mumar against the entire Torah. So what's the difference? So mumar la avera achas. So if it's for one sin, zeh shehechzik atzmo la'asos osa avera bizadon. So it's like he makes a decision for himself that he's always going to be over this particular iser. Okay, v'horgo v'nispar simba, and if he becomes regular doing it, and it's public. Okay, so it's like the difference between someone who, let's say, ate treif one time. Versus someone who says, I will eat treif. All right, so if someone says, I'm going to eat treif, and it becomes public, that's mumar lavera. Afilu haisa min akalos. Right? Even if it's a simple iser, so to speak, meaning it doesn't have to be something like shvichos damim, like murder. Even if it's something like a person says, I'm going to dig holes on Shabbos, bedavka, that's my shita, that's a mumar. All right, kigon shehuchzak tamid, libo shatnes, lahakepeya. For instance, a person says, he makes it a point of always wearing shatness. Okay, v'nim suke elu balda mitzvah zumina olam etzlo. What's happening as a result is that the very institution of the mitzvah itself becomes erased from his entire personality. Meaning, as far as he's concerned, the mitzvah ceases to exist. So such a person loses his chelek. Hareza mumar la'osa davar v'ushi yase lahachis, and that's the qualifier. He's doing it lahachis. So it's not like a person who says like. Out of ignorance, okay, as an example. Rather, it's an actual, out of spite. He says, like, this, I don't buy into this specific mitzvah, and therefore I'm not going to do it. Such a person loses his chelek olam haba. Now, mumar l'chol Torah kula, which is more categorical, kigona chosim l'dase ha'ov de kochavim, b'shah shegozrin gzera, v'yidbak behem. Very interesting. So mumar l'chol Torah kula is somebody who he goes after, he pursues after an idolatrous ideology, okay, during the period of time when, for instance, they're in control and they're handing out decrees against the Jewish people, as an example. And what happens? A person says, you know what, I don't want to be underneath these gzeras, I'm going to abandon, so to speak, Judaism, the yidbak behem, I'm going to attach myself to the idolaters, the yomar, ma betzeli li davik b'Yisrael. Right? What's the benefit of me for sticking with the Jewish people? Shem Shefelim, Minerdafim, Tovli, Sheedavik Be'elu, Sheyadam Tkifa. So basically, he says, I'm going to go with the winner. Why should I still be a member of the Jewish people who are low and they're constantly being pursued and always subject to being killed, in this instance? I'm going to go with the winner. And the winner in this case is going to be the non-Jews. So such a person is a Mumar L'chol Torah Kula. All right, Hareza Mumar L'chol Torah Kula, as the Rambam says. So those are the two categories. One is where a person abandons a specific mitzvah lahachis, and the other one is where a person abandons his status as a Jew. And he says, I don't want to be part of the Jewish people anymore. Okay? So those are the two categories of Mumar, and each one loses his chelek olam haba. Okay. Halacha Yud, mach tiyeh harabim. All right, that basically means somebody who gets other people to, what do you call it, do sins. Ketzad. So it could be a very large iser. And even if it's basically to convince people, to be over just mivata one mitzvah saseh. You go around telling people don't put on tefillin anymore. Ve'achada ones acherim achi chetu kiminasha. And even if it's through what it called ones, right? Until they end up committing the sin, kiminasha shayar orig es Yisrael achi yavdu over sulchavim o shehita acherim behidichum. Right. So because what did he do? He killed the Jewish people until they worshipped idolatry. Right. So in such situations, even if you're forcing the Jews to do it, meaning they wouldn't willingly do it, it's the presentation of the chait to the non-Jewish to the Jews that is machtiyei rabim, and such a person loses his chayla kolam haba. Okay, those I think are fairly intuitive. Mumar is somewhat controversial, but in general, I don't think that those are that controversial. Halach yud aleph though, this is a line that people use all the time, and it's important to classify what exactly it's talking about. That's Porish Mitzibur. So in Halach Yud Aleph, he says, a Porish Midarchei Tzibur. Okay? Now he's going to explain what that is in a second, but literally it means a person who separates himself out from the ways of the people, of the congregation. Right? Now what does that mean? V'af bishlo of arveros. Even if he's not over a sin, he didn't commit any chait, there's no Isser in the Torah you can point to that's called Porish Midarchei. It doesn't exist. But what did he do? Ela nivdal ma'adas Yisrael. Okay, so what does he do? He follows the Torah, but he never does mitzvos with the people. Okay, he never identifies with their suffering. He never fasts when they fast, meaning he's taken himself out of the nation. Okay, that's Porish Min HaTzibur. He sees himself as someone not part of Am Yisrael, and these are examples of how it's expressed. Elaholich bedarko ke'echa migoy aretz. He walks on his own, as if he's among the non-Jews of the world. Uke'ilu eino mehen, right? And it's as if he's not part of the Jews at all. Ein lo chelek lo am haba. Okay, so that's Porish Min HaTzibur. It's an interesting idea. It doesn't just mean like we use it often in a sense of, for instance, people who like to have marv minyanim, away from shul on Motzei Shabbos. People use the term Porish Min HaTzibur. That's not what it means. Porish Min HaTzibur means it's really chal on an individual. And it's a certain attitude where the person says, I'm not part of the Am. Ha'ose averos biyad rama, ki yoyakim bein b'shah kalos, bein b'shah chamuros, ein lo chelek l'am haba. So if a person does a sin, that's a little bit of mumar, he does a sin in that, rebellious nature to it. V'zeo nikra migal apanim b'torah, v'neisha'ez mitzchol v'gil apanav lo boshim divrei Torah. So that's a little different than Mumar, because it's not an ideological thing. Rather, he gets up publicly and he says, this is what he called, this is the sin. Moser is another one. This is something that is a very interesting question that came up recently with the issue of the pandemic. Being Moser Jews, which literally means, in a sense, ratting them out, telling on Jews to the authorities, okay? And now, to be clear, when he says Akum here, which is non-Jews, so there are those who argue it means any other authority other than Beis Din. Okay, so that would even include, for instance, the Mishtara in Israel. There are some who argue that would be considered Moser also. But certainly, in America, this is a very important issue, which is, can I rat out another Jew, to the government, if they're committing a crime? And again, a good example is, in a situation where Sakana Safashos might be emerging, do I call the police? So the concern by Moser from the Gemara was that basically in being involved in Moser, the non-Jews don't function in a method of equal justice. So since equal justice is not a product of society, then Moser is a problem. But where everyone's equal in front of the law, as the Aruch HaShulchan introduced, many follow that opinion, Moser isn't much of an issue today. So here, there are two instances, okay? HaMoser Chavera Biad Akam Lohargo LaHakoso. So one is to rat out the Jew to the non-Jewish authorities who could either kill him or hurt him, okay? Now, if you think about that, obviously killing him is pretty clear why that would be a problem. But Lahakosa, you could argue, is if someone ends up in prison. Being in prison, it's a good chance you're going to end up being hurt. And then is Vamoser Mamon Chaver B'Yad Akum. That's where I go to a non-Jew and I rat out the other Jew because of a monetary matter. The reason why these, again, like I was saying before, the reason why these two have are so critical is it's in the context where you're putting Jewish lives in danger. And that's the key to Moser. Many learn that's the case. that it's an issue of where the system of justice is one that doesn't look at the Jew as an equal way. That's where it could be a problem. So putting Jews in harm's way when it comes to giving them up to the non-Jews, that's why the person will lose a chelak olam haba. It's a threat to both, not just individual Jew, but to the society as a whole. Because if we rat him out to the non-Jews, they'll tend to extrapolate from that one person and think that all the Jews behave the exact same way. Okay, Halacha Yagimel, Matile Ema Al Tzibur, Shalol Hashem Shamayim. Okay, so it's somebody who basically brings dread and fear upon the congregation that's not L'Shem Shamayim. Okay, he scares people, not like hiding behind a corner scare, but really brings down, gives a speech that's filled with fire and brimstone onto the Tzibur that has nothing to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Zeh HaRod De Tzibur B'Chazaka, right? Like he really works the Tzibur with a lot of strength and power. V'heim Yireim U'mefachtim Emenu. And they're scared of him, right? The Kavanaso the Kavod Atzmo, right? The Kol Chafetzav. And he's doing it simply to honor himself, to raise his status, okay? Shlodo Chavot Shemayim G'lomachei Akam. Like what non-Jewish kings do. So the idea of creating a sense of awe and dread from the people to yourself when it's for the purpose of raising your status and not for the purpose of raising the status of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Now, in Halacha Yadal, Kol Echav Echav Me'esim Rebarav Anashim Elu. So every one of these 24 people, She Maninu, Afa Pishahein Misrael, Elahem Chelek, Lom Haba. So these 24 people, even though they're Jews, they lose their chelek. But then he says, the Yeshaveros Kalos Me'ilu, they're ones who are not quite as severe, okay? If Afa Pichain, Amru Chachamim, Sharagu Bahen, Ein Lahem Chelek Olam Haba. But the Chazal say, nonetheless, a person who does this normally, right, will lose his chelek. Okay? Uchadai, Hein Lizrachek Bahen, Lizar Bahen. So therefore, it's very good. It's good to not do them often. Okay, to remove yourself as much as possible from them and be careful. Now, again, to be clear, there's no shear for what rugil is here. That's the key. We don't really know what rugil means. At what point it leaves the status of being something you've done once or twice to something normal. Okay, but in these actions, it's only through regilus through doing it in a regular way that a person loses chelak olam haba. All right, the Elohim. Okay. Okay, so this has to do with creating nicknames, okay? Now, nicknames, in a way, sometimes are very derogatory, okay? So if a person either creates a nickname for his friend or refers to his friend with a nickname, and again, the context here is it's a derogatory way. If he does it on a normal basis, he loses his chelek. Now, that's if you embarrass someone else publicly. And the Gemara learns out exactly what's involved with that. But if you embarrass your fellow Jew publicly, you lose your chelak olam haba. Right? Mischabe bekalim chavero. Right? And a person also who doesn't take the pain and shame of his friend seriously. Mevaza talmid chachamim. That's also an important one. Okay, someone who's mevaza, who denigrates a talmid chacham. Now you got to be careful. Of course, we see the way the Rishonim write against each other. Right? Quite often they'll use language that is quite aggressive. The Ravid, we touched on by this case of Minas, when he attacks the Rambam, he doesn't attack him in a very polite way. The notion of political correctness was never a part of the lexicon of the Rishonim. It just didn't exist, okay? But that doesn't mean they were mevaza each other. Meaning, when we're arguing for the sake of truth, so then there's no idea of Bizayim. But if you denigrate a Talmud Chacham, when it's not for the sake of truth, that's real denigration, that's Bizayim. So, if you're mevaza Talmud Chachamim, v'ha mevaza Rabosav, right, and also someone who's mevaza the holidays, and a person's mechala that which is kodesh. Okay, all these categories. If you're rugged with them, you lose your chelak olam haba. B'medvar amurim. Okay, shekol echad me'elu ein lo chelak olam haba. Right, kishemeis below tshuva. Okay, it's only when you lose your chelak if you died without ever doing tshuva for these things. About im shav merisho. Let's say a person did do tshuva from these things. Umeis. Okay, remember, think about what he's about to say, what he just said right now. He's saying that that if any of these things that he just listed, right, which are the ones you do normally to lose your chelek, you can always do tshuva, okay, and you'll get your chelek olam haba back, so to speak, right? Because nothing, as he says, nothing stands in the way of tshuva. Even if a guy was kafir be'ikar, he denies the most fundamental ideas his entire life. And the last day of his life, so to speak, he does tshuva. Yesh lo chelok lo'am haba. Shnemar, shalom shalom rachok l'karav amar Hashem rafosa. However, kol rishayim ha'mumarim chiyotze behen, shechazu b'tshuva. So these evil people on these mumarim who are chazu b'tshuva, bein megiloi, bein b'matmonios, mekaban osam. Shnemar shuva banim shovim. So any one of these people who does tshuva, we accept them. Okay, it's important to understand that. And this is a very critical point. We always give people, I hate to be too cliche, a second chance. So even if the person is a kafir baker and he does tshuva, we have to welcome him back. Even if he said he did it privately. That's an important point. One thing we suffer from is we're very judgmental. Now, I would argue that, I know that was a judgment, but I'd argue that it's easy to, you know, I'd say we'd be more forgiving, I think, if it were somebody who was a kofer be'ikar, right? Let's say you heard someone was, denied, thought that God was physical, let's say, for example, okay? And then did tshuva, right? So I think people would say to themselves, okay, well, of course we're going to take a guy back, we'll accept that guy back into the fold, without question, right? Even though the kofer be'ikar is someone who loses the chelek olam haba. Now, I'm going to say this carefully, think about it. But when we know Jews, right, who have been, let's say, arrested for crimes and are in jail right now, how willing are we accept, and let's say they say they did tshuva, how willing are we to accept them back into Jewish society? Would we give them their jobs back? Okay, if a spiritual leader, right, commits commits a crime and he says he's done tshuva, right, it's interesting that I think most people are very hesitant in accepting such a person back. We don't believe he did tshuva. We don't believe he did someone. But you see, even for the worst kind of person. The worst kind of person in the Rambam's eyes, we accept them back into the fold. That's part of our obligation. Yes, Ron. One more line, and then we'll stop. Just the first line here, because it's a famous steer in the Rambam, so to speak. In Perek Dal Halacha Aleph, the Rambam says, "Arba v'esrim dvarim akven es hatshuva." Okay, now that statement alone is a huge problem because the Rambam just said before in the end of Perek Gimel that anyone can do tshuva. A person can spend his whole life kafir b'ikar, and at the end of his life, what can he do? He could do tshuva. Now he's saying there are 24 things which they'll fit in those categories we discussed before, that there is no way to do tshuva. Now, how is that possible? He seemed to indicate before that no matter how bad you are, right, you'll be able to do tshuva. And let me just read a little more. Arba mehen avon gadol. Four of them are great sin. Ve'osa echamena ina kalash baruch hu. Now this is qualification. Masbik biyadol lasos tshuva lefi godol cheta. Okay. Ve'elohein amachlias arabim. Okay. So let's take that as an example. If a person makes other people sin. Okay. Now, what does it mean that what God doesn't allow tshuva to emerge? Does that mean a person cannot do tshuva? Right? I mean, it's a very difficult question. I mean, I've heard all sorts of, there's a lot of different answers for it, but something that's interesting to think about. On the one hand, in Perek Gimel, the Rambam makes it clear that anyone can do tshuva, no matter how bad you are. On the other hand, here he seems to indicate that there are certain things you do that are so bad, that's it. There's no way out of it, and you're, what do you call it? You'll never be able to do tshuva as a result. Okay, we'll pick up from here tomorrow. Have a good day.